Not now, Colin.
Yeah, and the whole episode delves into him being sexually attracted to fish.
My neighbour calls you shop girl.
Did you just do a fourth wall break?
Hello, everyone, and welcome to our season finale of Out of Print with myself, Emmeline.
Me, Alice.
And myself, Sophie.
If you've listened this far, A, a big thank you very much. And B, yeah, if you've been with us on a bit of a journey, it's been extremely rewarding, I would say. I'm looking around at you guys doing this first season. And I guess we just want to say a massive thank you to everyone for listening and for supporting us and for sending messages of encouragement or criticism.
Yeah. Can we, let's just acknowledge, we had our first viral video and it was me telling a joke about bees and beekeepers. And the joke went viral, and at first it was obviously really funny because Alice hates this joke, and this is the one video that's on, I think it's on like 180,000 views or something now. The amount of comments saying make podcasting equipment more expensive, fucking outrageous. So yeah, a big thank you to everyone who supported us, and a big fuck you to everyone on TikTok. So
yeah, we're learning about all the things that come with the territory. And the bulk of this episode, as you'll hear further down the line, was actually recorded live at the 360 Festival at the Roundhouse, supported by Transmission Roundhouse. Hi, everyone.
Hi.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to Out of Print Live. And it was like a really, really, really lovely day. We brought a bunch of our mates down and basically got to do what we do usually in private and public. It felt like sort of a big step. Yep. So with that in mind, we thought we'd just lay the groundwork for our topic, which is side characters, whilst we have a bit less giddiness, a bit less nerves.
Yeah, and less sort of live jazz.
Live jazz in the background.
In the background.
So you can hear our takes on the topic.
And gulping down a pint as
and
well.
And gulping down a pint
Tom,
as well.
Tom, the producer, grabbed us at the end and was like, wow, you girls really got through those drinks during that episode. So, yeah.
So yeah, we'll lay out our topics and then we'll clip in some of the live content because it was a fun day and we want to share that.
And we had some good conversations as well,
I think.
You know, like it wasn't totally scripted.
Yeah. So our topic is side characters. Soph, maybe you want to start by giving us a little overview. What is a side character?
I would love to give you an overview of what is a side character. So probably easiest to first lay out what is a main character. So obviously drives the plot, carries the core narrative. These are people like your protagonists and your villains, etc. And then your side character is anyone who supports and exists to assist, oppose or highlight the main character's growth or storyline. And Emmeline and I actually ended up in a really interesting conversation where we have different ideas of what a side character is.
Yeah, so I guess my understanding or consideration of what a side character is specifically in literature is just someone that is adjacent to the main character.
Mm.
They don't have as much development in terms of backstory and plot, but crucially, they do have a life and they do have significant thoughts, feelings, actions, decisions that specifically impact the main character. So I guess my argument would be that a sidekick could be a side character, that a love interest could be a side character, that a villain could be a side character. But yeah, just anyone that is one step removed from the main character. But obviously, it gets a bit of a sticky debate as to who is the main character and who isn't. And actually, a lot of people that we consider to be side characters, I guess the first example that comes to mind is, I don't know, like Saul in Breaking Bad, then go on to get their own show.
Mm-hmm. Angel in
Better
Buffy.
Better Call Saul. Angel in Buffy. There's loads of examples of people who latch onto side characters because they represent someone with depth and meaning and a history, but as something that is maybe slightly, has less of the spotlight and maybe people can relate to that. But yeah, that's just my offshoot.
Which I think is really important. And I think before we outline anything. Also, by the way, I feel like I should flag, this is going to be a fun episode, but there's some important literary theory that we need to do to lay the groundwork so that you can kind of look at the side characters in your own life and make your own decision on this. So essentially what you're talking about, Emmeline, specifically, is the concept of the major side character.
Yeah.
So these are supporting characters. If you think about the Oscars, you know, there's a supporting category. which has some internal depth. They influence events, they have subplots, they have different emotional stakes. So the classic example is like Sam Gamgee. And then there's people who are minor side characters. So these are people who are more peripheral to the main plot. They might be limited in depth or development, and they have quite function-based roles. So comic relief or exposition or background presence and stuff like that. In my mind, the minor side character is what I define as a side character. And I hate to say it, I'm taking the gamer take on this. I went deep down into some Reddit threads to find out people's opinion on side characters. And the gamer take on Reddit is that a side character is non-playable with minimal plot relevance. You might have heard the term NPC before. This is a term that originated in traditional tabletop games to describe characters not controlled by a player, but rather by the dungeon master. So in video games, NPCs are characters with a predetermined or algorithmically determined set of behaviours controlled by the computer rather than having their own will and intent.
So it's like not someone that, it's like not a skin that's what they say, right? And it gets gaming terms, like a skin that you can wear is like someone that you can control their movements and their actions. Whereas you're saying that your kind of understanding of a side character is someone that is in the physical and kind of spiritual periphery of the game.
Yeah, like mise-en-scène, essentially. It's also important to note that within a literary context, the concept of the side character, using a lot of side characters, is contentious. So, which is quite interesting. So Norman Douglas wrote a letter to D.H. Lawrence, who's obviously a very famous author, basically when he was fucking raging at him. And he was complaining about the amount of side characters in his book. And he says, in a failure to realise the complexities of the ordinary human mind, it selects for literary purposes two or three facets of a man or woman, generally the most spectacular and therefore useful ingredients of their character, and disregards all others. It takes what it likes and leaves the rest. The facts may be correct as far as they go, but there are too few of them. What the author says may be true, and yet by no means the truth. This is the novelist's touch. It falsifies life. Which is quite interesting, because you never think about the fact that, you know, you're not giving these people agency. You know, they are literally just kind of background characters, which is maybe part of why people get so attached to them. Oh, what did happen to that person? I wonder what they were thinking at that point in time.
So that's to do with... stop me in my tracks if you're about to cover this, but that's also related to the concept of like a flat or a round character, right? I think it was E.M. Forster.
It was, bang on.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
So, yeah, actually in E.M. Forster's, it's a 1927 book called Aspects of the Novel, and he says, we do not remember her so easily because she waxes and wanes and has facets like a human being. And this is him talking about why people get so much more attached to the side character, because you're like, oh, well, they're just responding like a person, rather than someone that can be summarised in one sentence is a very flat character. Colin Creevy is the example that comes to mind. He's the little kind of dork that runs around with the camera and has very kind of like specky energy.
In Harry Potter.
In Harry Potter.
And they're all going, not now, Colin!
Not now, Colin! And he's just a pest. And, you know, we've basically summed up, you know, his whole involvement across a book in a single sentence. And that's the concept of the flat character. And Alex Walsh has a book called The One Versus the Many. And he talks about in the 19th century novel, the two types of minorness. He says, the flat character who is reduced to a single functional use within the narrative, and the fragmentary character who plays a disruptive oppositional role within the plot. In both cases, the actualization of the human being is denied. Which is quite sinister.
It is sinister.
But it's a really interesting one to think about. So, like, even within your own friend group, do you have people that you can summarise in a single sentence? Is there pieces of media where you can summarise them in a single sentence? And we spoke about this a little bit in the live episode. The Simpsons, they obviously play around with giving side characters their own episodes.
Yeah.
But with the exception of Maud Flanders, who gets killed quite early on, interestingly, because her voice actor was actually leaving The Simpsons, and that's why they killed her off, the rest of the subplots don't really affect anything that happens in the story. And for any Simpsons fans who are listening out here, we might clip in when I point out to our friend Jessie during the live recording, who absolutely loves The Simpsons. In my favourite Simpsons episode, I'm making eye contact with a very special man in the room who loves The Simpsons. He was quite happy to have a shout out for this. In The Simpsons, there's this character called Troy McClure who pops up between seasons 2 and seasons 10. and he says, "Hi, I'm Troy McClure." And he's always talking about the different films that he was in. And if they ever need a guy to be in like a commercial or a film within the story's narrative, it's Troy McClure. What's interesting about him is he appears in 6 episodes between season 2 and season 10. He has this whole spin-off in an episode called A Fish Called Selma, where he starts dating one of Marge's sisters. And
as named by the movie A Fish Called Wanda.
Yeah, and the whole episode delves into him being sexually attracted to fish. And it's one of those things where, does it affect the plot? No, it doesn't. But you then remember that about Troy McClure as, you know, up until from seasons 2 until 10. Although, very sadly, I found this out. I was like, why doesn't Troy McClure appear in The Simpsons after season 10? And the voice actor was murdered.
Oh my God.
Isn't that awful?
Christ.
Yeah. Phil Hartman was his name. And he also played another character called Lionel Hutz. Which are two of the best side characters in The Simpsons. And
which one's Lionel Hutz?
Lionel Hutz is the lawyer who's like always doing seedy deals and taking massive cuts for himself and stuff. But the original Simpsons film that we would have all watched came out in 2007.
Wow. No way!
And this next one is coming out next year.
Ah, well, I'll have to make a pilgrimage to the cinema.
And there's another Incredibles film coming out. Which I'm very
excited for. Unbelievable.
And lots of side characters like Edna Mode.
Edna Mode.
Edna Mode.
Yeah. Edna Mode. Who would be so worthy of her own spin-off?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But she's designing, she's a fashionista.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I'd watch the shit out of that.
Well, I was trying to think, when I was thinking about side characters, of who my favourites are, and there were some notable mentions. I thought about Nunu. In the Teletubbies.
Who strong. Terrified me.
Pretty scary.
As a child.
Pretty scary.
I was very scared of Nunu.
You could argue like that son. Did you have that thing that's like an old wives' tale that everyone you know knows someone that was that baby in the sun?
No.
You never heard that? Okay. No. I feel like it's a thing. It's like a Hinge fact. You know, it's like I was the baby in the sun.
I have actually seen that on Hinge. Yeah.
We were doing facts at work to like get to know each other, and we were just kind of, you know, chatting about it. And they were like, "Oh, Sophie, what's your fun fact?" And my go-to is always the rights to my face. And my colleagues were horrified. They were like, "That's like a real problem in the age of AI."
For context.
Okay, very quick context is I was an extra on the film when it was filmed in Glasgow a few years ago. And basically, I then get pulled off set. I get put in a van and they take me and a few other people off and they push us into this room. And there's
sounds so sinister.
It sounds
so
scary.
I know. And there's 260 digital DSLR cameras surrounding it. And they say, "Okay, in you go. We're going to go and take pictures of your whole face and body so that we can plant you into the background of crowd scenes to help populate it." And this is like just on the cusp of before AI getting really good. And I was like, I'm actually not fine with that, even a little bit. And they said, "You should have read your contract better. So if you see me, you know, popping up and..."
Then no, we didn't.
Yeah.
Yeah. It would be so funny if you become like the permanent side character in all...
in like every film.
Fucking hilarious.
We like go to watch the new Moana and you're like there.
Yeah, and you know what's crazy is I look like shit as well.
Oh, didn't they put you in like a sack?
Yeah, they put me in this sort of burlap sack, and they'd made the costumes like really heavy because they were filming in Glasgow and they were expecting it to be cold. And it was the one time that Glasgow had a decent summer, and they weren't washing the costumes, and they fucking stunk.
That's a lot.
Yeah, so catch me on my side character journey. I didn't have no ones. Backstory.
I'm trying to think about the other ones I was thinking of as well. I love Laird and Girls, if you've seen that show, and Donkey from Shrek is an obvious...
I'd argue he's a sidekick.
Yeah, well, I think he's too present.
It's contentious.
This is where it gets contentious.
Yeah.
But I was thinking about who the ultimate side character is, or something to bring to the table about why side characters have the rep they do and are the way they are. And I was thinking a lot about Bertha Mason, or Mrs. Rochester from Jane Eyre, if you're familiar. Mm-hmm. So obviously the story of Charlotte Bronte's Jane Eyre is that Jane marries eventually this kind of evil man, Mr. Rochester, and he lives in this big, giant house, and very close to the period of time in which they're going to be married, there's a fire in the house, and essentially you realize that he's been keeping his ex-wife, or maybe they're still married, locked away in the attic.
Oh God, I've not read Jane Eyre. So yeah. This is genuinely
No, it's really disturbing, actually. And actually, when I like read it when I was younger and when I watched movie adaptations, that scene really sort of stuck with me.
Why don't people talk about this when they talk about Jane Eyre?
Well, because she's so sided. She's so... And what I wanted to talk about was really how a lot of side characters are, particularly in like historic literature, and I guess we're looking at like 18th century, 19th century, early 20th century texts, that side characters are people that were othered by society. So Bertha Mason in the book grew up in Jamaica in Spanish Town and is described in very slightly non-human ways. She's given very animalistic qualities. She's described as being savage, as being dark. There are clear connections with the writer's concept and projections of her race as connected to her mental illness and her, what is described as a kind of like bestial nature. It's a really troubling read of that book through, I guess we'd say a post-colonial eye, but really just if you're a modern reader reading that would pick up on those associations straight away. No, it doesn't. But I guess that's part of my thinking about what a side character is. There's also someone that, someone that sort of suffers either in society or in the mind of the writer as well, and then it comes out. So what's the interesting thing about Bertha Mason and who Mrs. Rochester is and becomes is that she now garnered her own school of thought and thinking and criticism as attached to what that character means. So there's the book Wide Sargasso Sea by Jean Rhys, which sees the whole Jane Eyre narrative through the eyes of Bertha Mason.
Wow.
It's her story, and it's so she then becomes the main character in the book. And then the other angle is there's a great book of, if you're interested in sort of literary and I guess feminist literary criticism for texts in that period of time. It's called Mad Woman in the Attic, yes. Which refers directly to her. And I think it's Susan Gilbert and Sandra Gubar who've written this. It's a fat book. It's like a doorstop of a book. And it's a whole school of thought, like I said, that expands on what it means to be sided and othered and how we might reconsider texts within the context of considering why someone is a side character and who has put them there. That was what I was thinking about when I was thinking about what is a side character and what do they represent. But I will concede the fact that in particularly like modern colloquial terms, when we're chatting with each other, the side character within our own stories is definitely someone who is peripheral. They're sort of secondary. Yes. They come into our lives, they go out, and I guess the biggest example of that is when we're on nights out. That's the strongest collection of side characters.
Who you meet in the smoking area, who you pick up at the bar, who I end up going home with often.
And actually,
ends up being a side character. So thinking a little bit about side characters in our real lives, they are people who form the basis of, you know, some of our favourite anecdotes, their stories that we tell again and again and again and again, and, you know, reminisce. And often side characters in real life are sort of producing chaos or providing comic relief.
Yeah.
Or maybe they're kind of, you know, they touch us in some ways. Like there's a particular example of, this is really specific, but this is like a poignant side character rather than a funny one, just to give a bit of contrast. There was one time when I was about 20 and my childhood best friend and I had like a little bit of a falling out. I was feeling very troubled by it. And I was in Matlock, my hometown, and I went and sat on a bench. There's like a specific bench that has a really nice view. And I go there a lot, or used to go there a lot. And it was raining and it was sort of nighttime. And I'd gone up there to smoke a cigarette. Away from the house, because at that point my mum didn't know that I smoked.
I've got such a strong image of you in my head, like going up to the moors to like light a cigarette.
Yeah, it was very like kind of emo, dark, and it was sort of raining.
Kathy!
Yeah.
Kathy! Put that cigarette out.
And this man came up the, because it's like all of Matlock is on a hill, so there's these stone steps to get up to the bench. And I was sat there, and he came up, and he sort of stopped because he saw he was like a young woman on her own, seemingly crying and smoking a cigarette in the rain. And he just kind of like came up behind me, and I was a bit like, oh, is he going to do something weird? Like, you, when a man comes up to you, you immediately kind of, you know. But he was just like, oh, are you okay? And I was like, yeah, I'm fine. And then he was like, would you like my umbrella? And just like offered me his brolly. And I said no, but that moment just like sticks with me because it's like someone who just like very, 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 very fleetingly, you know, entered my story. And, you know, I still think about that kind of moment of kindness and tenderness from this just, you know.
That's really beautiful.
Sort of middle-aged man.
Little angel.
Which is just lovely. And so I think, you know, there are, you know, those kinds of side characters.
Yeah.
But probably more, you know, prevalent are the sort of chaos side characters. And I also want to make sure that I make something very clear. You know, I'm aware that we are three women sitting in front of a mic. We might have grand delusions about being main characters. And we talk a lot about, you know, main character energy, main character syndrome, which I guess sort of pertains to a slight narcissism, particularly in our generation. I think we're quite...
Gen Z's terrible for that.
Yeah, like we think we're the centre of the...
We literally make
universe.
Edits of ourselves on TikTok. I'm using the royal us. I don't mean the three of us are doing like fan
I was like,
cams.
I don't remember doing that.
No, but like when you make a TikTok video of yourself or like your highlight reel from the year, that is self-indulgent. Yeah. That's main character energy, which is fine. You should be the main character in your own story. But
absolutely. And we want, and it's about having agency and feeling like we have agency. But
it's like that. Sorry, it's like that in The Holiday. You have to be the leading lady of your own life. That's what you get, which is beautiful.
Which is a nice line.
Yeah.
But we are aware that we are also side characters in other people's stories. So don't get it twisted.
Interesting in your discussion, Alice, about main character syndrome. So there is actually like an article called exactly that by this woman called Anna Gottlieb. And she summarizes how Emmanuel Levinas, you guys who are more literate than me may have heard of this. This is my first time reading about this. And there's a concept called alterity, which is the uncertainty born of the otherness of others. And it's the beginning of all morality. It might also be the beginning of all love. The other challenges us, makes demands on us, and holds us responsible. And essentially, it just sums up how, even if you're a main character in your own story, you can only truly know yourself by interacting with others and, you know, reconsidering yourself through their lens as well. That's often how you learn and grow and stop being self-centered, is thinking about how other people are viewing your actions as well.
Yeah, I think that's a really important note.
Yeah, like if you become self-aware that you're a villain in someone else's story... Yeah. That will encourage you to become a better person.
100%.
So having that kind of, relational value to other people and being aware of that is really important for character development.
Yeah.
Totally.
And I know that I'm a villain in a fair few stories. I'm at peace with that.
I think you're okay. I think you're on the right, side of history. We're okay.
I realised that I am a side character recently when I went into my local chicken shop. I went in and it was a random Wednesday night. I think I'd been out with one of my former colleagues because we got made redundant, so we went out on the lash, naturally. And I went into the to, but it's great, and the men who work there are absolutely lovely. And I guess I've been in there so much that they recognise me immediately, and they were like, Tower Burger, like they know my fucking order.
But to them, your name is Tower Burger.
Oh, probably.
That's so true.
Tower Burger
you
girl.
You don't know what your side character name is. Or like drunk chick. Or, I mean, that's uninventive. But you might have a name.
No, but it's true. I remember going in my local coffee shop.
Yeah.
Before they knew my name. Yeah. I was iced oat flat white, two sugars.
My neighbour calls you Shot Girl.
Shot Girl? Why?
Yeah, honestly, it's so weird because it's so unassociated with you. I think you must have told her once that you...
That I was
worked
formerly
at a
Shot Girl.
And and she calls you Shot Girl, which is so funny because...
That's kind of sexy.
It is kind of
sexy. Yeah, it's sexy.
And she's always like, how's Shot Girl? And it takes me a minute to be like, oh yeah, that's you.
And your grandma knows me as...
Sexy Alice. But like, of the sex, not like sexy, like...
No, I think your grandma thinks I'm sexy. That's what I'm leaning into. But yeah, so I went in and they were like, Tower Burger, you know, and I was like, yeah. And it was maybe like 1 a.m. and they were like, where's, and then they gestured at their upper lip, referring to my boyfriend who has a mustache. And I was like, he's not his, it's just me. And they're like, oh, and there's the other girl that you're offering me, like Emmeline. And I was like, no, it's just me. It's just me tonight. And they're like, okay. And then they were like, why are you always drunk? I was like, it's a chicken shop? Like, what? Who's coming in here sober? I was very confused. I got a little bit defensive because I was drunk. So, I was on the defensive.
Shut up!
I was like, no! And then they were very sweet. He went behind the counter. Well, they were obviously behind the counter already. He went to the vat of oil that they fry the chicken in. And he just put a little wing in there for me. And he just took it out. And it was just like a little chicken wing, little fried chicken wing while I was waiting for my burger.
Like a stray dog.
Yeah. He fed me. He just handed it. It was like, there was no like food hygiene regulations being.
It's literally hand to mouth. Is that what it is?
Yeah, literally
hand to mouth.
Sort of went over, and I was like,
it's like not like farm to table. It's like the new version.
Hand
to mouth,
from the
oil vat to mouth.
Yeah, and I just kind of munched it. I was like, it's like yum yum yum. And then I had the bone. Didn't really know what to do with it. And he just put out his hand. So I just like gave him the bone. And he just took it. Yeah, it was really sweet. Again, like kind of like funny, but like poignant.
Yeah,
it was a tender moment. But I'm definitely the side character in that shop. Like,
for sure.
100%. The recurring drunk girl.
Alice, I have full sympathy with you because I'm also a side character, but not recurring, a one-off.
Mm.
Because when Emmeline was working in a bar in London, these two people who had never seen before approached me and they said, are you Sophie Park? And I said, yes, I am. Who the fuck are you? Literally never seen you before in my life. And they said, we know exactly who you are. You made a real impression on us on a night out that you did with us once.
Really scary.
And then they walked away, giving me anxiety about something that happened 3 years ago.
I want to know what you did.
Me too. I remember the nights out I used to go in there, I would frequently wake up without my clothes on and communion wafers in my hand. Which is really bad.
This is such a strong image.
I know. It's because I was going out with my really, really naughty pal, Mental Sarah, who's this like...
Mental Sarah, side character.
Side character.
Such strong, 6'1", Irish baddie.
Yeah.
And she always, always got me into a lot of trouble.
Yeah. I was going to say, now is a really good time to cut to the bit of the episode where we tell who maybe is our ultimate side character.
Bob Bin. The tale of Bob Bin. Feast your ears.
Me and Alice really sweetly got invited back to our university about 6 months ago to give a speech to some English grads that were about to leave, which was a lovely thing to do.
They didn't ask me to come back.
Sorry.
Just us. Just the drunk girl and Emmeline.
You made too much of a rep, but you're... and after we finished, it was a really sunny, gorgeous day. And after they finished, they gave us a bottle of wine as a thank you. And we were like, oh, it'd be rude not to sit here, have a drink, enjoy ourselves. And then we sort of stayed long enough that the college bar reopened. And we have a specific kind of college drink, which is made up of vodka and white wine and maybe some other spirit, and it's a dangerous concoction.
Lemonade and blackcurrant as well.
So we had a couple, which was it's never going to end well. And we went out, sort of like, I guess, reminiscing when we were there. And it got to like a sensible point in the evening to go home. And I turned to Alice and I said, I think this is time. I think we need to go back. And she turned around to me, like you had sort of this glassy look in your eyes, and you were like, I'm not going home. And I was like, Alice, what do you mean? You're like, we're finding someone. So then the mission of the evening basically came to find a side character for you to meet. And it was
for
with
me,
my friend.
For me to meet.
For you to meet. I'm being, euphemistic.
Yeah.
And I was with my friend at the time as well, and we just wanted to go home. So we were like, going up to anyone, like, does anyone want to come and meet our lovely friend Alice? Like, does anyone want to chat to her? Anyway, we kind of gave up on this mission. And half an hour later, I found Alice in the corner of the club with the most unusual elderly man in the joint, and I was
so paranoid about it being a student because yeah. It was at university during term time. I was like, I don't want
to
act. Well,
I don't think you needed to be that paranoid.
I overcorrected.
Okay.
Yeah, overcorrection. Yeah. Anyway, so we, I was like, okay, if you're sure, and I think I demanded that this man put his number in my phone and his name, and I was like, okay, Alice, fly off freely into the evening. And I woke up the next morning and I called Alice and I was like, what, are you okay? Where are you? And she was like, yeah, I'll meet you at the station. And I met Alice, mascara.
Lucas Aid in hand.
Lucas Aid in hand, Greg's in hand. Shall I pass it on to you at this point?
I mean, I'm not going to share too much because you guys don't need to hear everything, obviously. But yeah, we had a nice time, I guess. The only details that we got was that he was from the Southwest, and
he worked in tractors.
Yeah. And I only know he's from the Southwest because he had the accent. Like, he kept calling me his gorgeous girl, and I was like, I don't know, man. And he was very keen to see me again, and I felt bad. I felt like I broke his heart that night.
But it was such a good story, and I was like, no one at home is going to believe that this happened. So I turned around to Alice. I was like, what was his name? Like, can we find a picture of him to show our friends?
Yeah, and we couldn't find one. And then what I started doing, because we were on the train back, we were very hungover, we had nothing else to do. So I drew a little sketch of what he looked like.
Like a sort of witness sketch of this man.
So I sort of drew what he looked like and was like, this was the man. Kind of corroborating with Emily. And I was like, this is the man you let me go home
which
with.
I believe, Sophie, do you have a...
I have a part two of the story, and then I'll show you the police sketch that Alice did of him.
Yeah. So we did the police sketch, and then I found his number in my phone and the first name. And this is basically the point at which we were like, we really need to find this man on the internet. We have a police sketch, a first name, a number, and the fact that he works in tractors.
And it's from the Southwest.
And I'm going to hand over to Soph to finish the end of this story.
Well, luckily, we have a war crimes investigator in our lives.
Not that we can compare this to a war crime.
Yeah, it's relevant to the story. So this person in our lives is trained in OSINT, so open source investigation. All above board, perfectly legal. It's information that can be found freely online. I need to say that for legal reasons.
It's a good caveat.
Which is true. It's true. So I basically sent this police sketch of this old man to this friend of ours and gave him the information. So we had the phone number, the first name, works in tractors, Southwest. And he's very kindly typed out his next steps. So we had a physical description, and we knew that a man called Bob lives in Newport, works at a manufacturing company that does tractors. So the war crimes investigator began by saving the phone number to the contacts and got the WhatsApp picture, which is of a black Labrador dog.
Classic.
They then, yeah. Well, it kind of gives you a sense of the age that we were dealing with. Then... our dear friend tried to find a Rob that works in tractors and identified the three biggest tractor companies in South Wales and then went through their relatively small teams on LinkedIn.
But I bet there's a lot of Bobs working in tractors.
Well, they collected all the Bobs, they said.
That's a lot.
One of them matched the physical description given by Alice. So then he went on their Facebook, found that he was from South Wales and worked in tractors. To confirm... they matched the black lab in his WhatsApp display picture with one on Facebook in like some memory picture, sent the photo to Alice, and then we cross-checked it with the police sketch that Alice had drawn. All in all, to find Bob Bin, the real Bob Bin, took 15 minutes. And in case anyone's wondering, I don't know if you can see, but this is what the police sketch looked like that Alice drew.
If you want to see it properly, come talk to us later.
We'll show you
the goods. And it is actually shockingly accurate.
So that
credit to my artistic ability and my memory in that moment to recall his face. Obviously, it was only an hour after I'd left him, but
it was unbelievable.
So that's all to say, Bob Bin is now a kind of... he's a side character. He gets referenced a lot. He's a side character.
Monthly, I
would
say.
He's a side character within our lives, and you know, what did he enable in the main plot, Alice?
What did he teach me about myself?
Lessons.
He definitely taught me lessons in
Raising my standards. And I think this was kind of, I think because we were back at uni, and I think there was a part of me that was trying to relive some kind of chaotic youth, which I started my sex and relationships column at uni, so I was very much on that sort of the wavelength while I was there. And I think it kind of taught me that I need to grow up a little bit and just maybe rein it in and listen to my friends more. When I mean, you did try and dissuade me.
It was like the really Cinderella hour. I was like, now's the time to.
And also, even when you saw him, you were like, Alice, no. And I was like, yes.
It happens.
And you were like, no. And I was like, yes.
And actually,
like, cool.
Without that, Alice, we wouldn't have had this great side character story.
It's
so
true.
Very true. Yeah.
But
very
I have managed to populate my life with plenty of side characters. And I think Bob Bin may be the summit that I'm never going to...
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm not going to surpass that.
Edit out. Edit out.
So, yeah, I guess we ended the episode in a really lovely way, which is we sent a call out on Instagram, which is a perfect opportunity to say, if you're not following on socials, what are you doing?
Yeah, real.
We sent a call out asking for any of our listeners or friends, pals, to send in a voice note about their favourite side characters in their lives. And there were some crackers.
Absolutely incredible. I'll give you a bit of backstory to the first one, and then we will play you the live recording with the real reactions. So this first note, a close friend of mine in New Zealand was arrested for breaking and entering, trespassing and petty theft. Quite a run for one night. Into Forsyth Bar Stadium in Dunedin, if we have any Kiwi listeners, which I actually think we do.
I think we do, yeah. Hello to everyone.
So essentially this friend had no idea that he'd been caught until a post from the Dunedin local police Facebook page went out asking him for a warrant. And lots of his friends tagged him in it, being like, oh, this looks like you. And then he was like, fuck, that is me.
Shit.
Anyway, he went in and it was all a big hoo-ha. And in order to not get a criminal record, he handed himself in and was like, look, I'll do community service. Please don't put this on my record. And as far as I knew, that was the end of the story. Until a friend of his, this amazing guy who's called Dave Borry, who, side note, runs an absolutely exceptional weekly music show on 94.7 The Pulse. It's called Almost Radio, and it's about Aussie and Kiwi musicians. And he is a fan of the pod and submitted in part two of the story. So we'll run the clip.
So you know the story about and his reparations he had to make. The community service was helping set the stadium up for the Beer Fest, which happens at the end of the year, and it's a grand old time. We'd always go and just get pissed, and it was awesome. And when he was talking to the CEO of the company that owns the venue, Forsyth Bar Stadium, and in that conversation, they were joking about, like, the CEO was like, I'm really glad you came and, like, did this. Thanks for, not everyone would own up to it. Okay, so sidebar. This was in 2017, and a big thing that we did when we were studying was going to pint nights on Wednesday nights. And that one pint night, my girlfriend at the time and I, we snuck into Forsyth Bar Stadium, and which was just snuck in. We just hopped the fence, and we were like, we had sex on the field, like right in the middle of where they kick the ball off of the rugby games. And anyway, great time. And then as we were leaving, the security guy came and like we sort of had to run and bolt it. We almost got caught. So then if you go back forward in time to when he's sort of like, talking to the CEO and, making reparations, the CEO goes, oh mate, I really appreciate you fronting up to this. We have a lot of people break in and do things and they don't own up to it. Like, you wouldn't believe what we see on those cameras that happens on the field. He didn't say it. He was almost going to go like, oh, I actually know that guy. And then he was like, oh, actually, it probably doesn't help my case here. So, I don't want to be seen as if I'm this guy and a group of friends that just break into Forsyth Bar all the time.
Wow. So that's permanent footage on camera.
Permanent footage on camera of him shagging on the Forsyth Bar Stadium bit where they kick the rugby ball. But importantly, the fact that he has become, the scourge of Forsyth Bar.
As they all know him.
As the doggers, yeah.
Oh.
And and that this was then referenced to this friend of ours who was coming in to do community service for breaking in on an entirely separate trip. So it's that thing, it's that interlinking thing where everyone's a side character depending on the angle. In the case of these two friends of mine from New Zealand, they were the villains of of Forsyth Barr. So yeah, just an interesting one to think about. Yeah, kind of like relational value and where you sit in everyone's stories.
It's very strong.
Yeah, it's very, very strong. And also scandalous.
Yeah, very scandalous.
Okay, on to the next clip. Do you want to do another intro?
I will. So this second one is about when you know that a mate of yours has strong side character energy, and you just know that they're a quirky character and they deserve to be a side character in other people's lives, even if they're a main character in your own life.
Right, so I'm going to tell you about my favourite side character, and he's so much my favourite side character that he's actually one of the main characters of my life, that I consider myself very lucky for that. But I'm aware of how much of a side character he is in so many other people's lives because of how iconic he is. And to paint the picture, this man has long, luscious, bushy hair and a big, long, bushy moustache. And everything he wears is from a place called the $2 Clothing Warehouse. But he's always pulling off some ridiculous fit, usually revolving around some kind of Windows 98 t-shirt and knockoff Teva sandals. So he looks excellent all the time, and he's usually riding a bike that he picked up for about $5 or $10. Wherever we go, people who he doesn't know recognize him and say hello. And sometimes this is in places which he and I go to together, and they have no idea who I am. And they're always pointing out to him, going, "Hey, it's this guy." And he'll do the same thing back to them. And he's just beloved. To be fair, he has the antics to back up being a side character as well. He was a sauna juicer in Whistler for a while, which he maintains was strictly for access to MILFs. And then he read a book on lobster fishing and so turned up at a dock in Maine one day and said, "Hey, I'm here to catch some lobsters." And some guy said, "Yeah, sure, be here at 4 a.m. tomorrow morning." Goes out, has a huge night in the pub, does not show up at 4 a.m. in the morning, and then turns up to the same dock again on the next day and runs it back and does the same thing, finds some different old fisherman, and now is quite a successful lobster fisherman out there. He does a few months' work, and it kind of pays for his shenanigans for the rest of the year. So he's not a side character in my life, but he is a side character in many people's lives, and one that I'm sure they'll remember for their entire life. He's a very, very special individual. And I know he's a side character in your life as well, Sophie, so maybe you can elaborate on that.
Did he say he was a sauna juicer?
He was a sauna juicer.
What does that mean?
What is that?
I don't actually know.
What?
He pours the water on the rocks.
That's a very
thank you
elaborate
so much.
Name for, okay.
To give him access to MILFs, and then became a very successful lobster fisherman in Maine.
Wow.
And this person was always kind of a peripheral side character in my life, because the person who submitted the voice note is my big brother. And the way that all of your big brother's friends are kind of larger than life characters, whether you've met them or not. And yeah, I was always hearing about all these shenanigans and all the different things they were getting up to. They ran a radio show, et cetera, et cetera. And then, interestingly, one day, the man in question texted my brother just with a message that said, "Hey, Liam, turns out I blasted your sister's best mate." And I was like, that's interesting.
He's the lobster guy.
Yeah. There's someone in the room who's looking rather red right now. I had heard this story independently from my friend who'd been blasted, as he put it. And he was called the Lorax in that story because he has a long, beautiful, twirly mustache. And then I realized that Lorax and Lobster Man were the same, and that blasting had been involved. It was amazing.
I want to meet this man. Rich, he sounds majestic.
This is a rich and, like, there are layers to this story. Like, this is, yes, he's a flat character because we're thinking about just his mustache and his hair and his lobster antics. But he's got depth.
He
in
does.
A way.
He it, truly does.
Maybe he's got breath.
And finally, maybe the pièce de résistance.
Yeah.
Would you like to explain our final clip?
Yep, pièce de résistance. This was an unbelievable listen on the day, so I'm excited to play the clip. This is from Bruno in Glasgow. He's an absolute legend. He is so funny. Very much a side character himself.
The Brunado. He has a canon event.
He does have a canon event, which is essentially he comes down to London and creates carnage. So Bruno Tornado, Brunado. And yeah, the Brunado has come in with an incredible story about a man that he met on the tube who has now become a side character that we reference quite a lot.
Run it back.
In terms of side characters, I have a pretty good story. It's less of like a consistent side character and more of like a one-off side character that just made a big impact. Me and my friend Tom were taking the underground in London. I don't live in London, I'm from Glasgow. I live in Glasgow at the moment. And yeah, I was just down visiting for the weekend. So I'm not used to the whole London vibe, you know, the like stick to yourself, don't make eye contact, don't talk to strangers thing going on. And we were just on the London underground, like waiting on one of the benches. This guy starts walking over to us as we're talking, and he's like, he's definitely got a bit of a jitterbug thing going on, like kind of like erratic movement, you know, like pretty much shadow boxing down the station. And so Tom, being the good Londoner that he is, you know, knows the best thing to do is to like avoid eye contact, sit still, maybe he won't see you. But I this guy's pretty fascinating. He's just got a bit of a weird vibe. So I look at him and then he makes eye contact with me and he's like, "All right, guys." And, you know, I'm not going to be rude. So I was like, "Hey, how you doing, man?" And he was like, "Oh, mate." And he immediately comes and sits down next to us. And Tom just tenses to the side of me like, "Fuck, fucking, what did you do that for?" And the guy just sits down next to us and he just starts yapping. And he's like, bruv, I've just got out of prison. And I was like, "Oh, man, like, what'd you go to prison for?" "GBH, bruv, GBH." I was like, "What? What'd you do that for?" You know, as we're talking, like, people are walking by and just intermittently, he'll just catcall people. And so anyway, you know, the guy's gone to prison for GBH. He's got a bit of an intimidating vibe about him. But I don't know, he kind of seems cool. And so we're just chit-chatting, talking about stuff. And he's like, "Yeah, bruv, like, my life's been fucked up, yeah? I went to prison for 5 years, yeah? My mum's dead, my dad's dead, my sister's dead." I was like, "Oh, God." Like, you know, honestly, I was saying to him, I was like, "Bro, I'm actually so sorry. Like, that is so shit." And he was like, "It's fine, bruv. I learned a lot. When I was in prison, yeah, you got to keep your words up, yeah? I've been on Words for Friends like crazy." And I didn't know what Words for Friends was. So I was like, "What's Words for Friends?" And he was like, "Yeah, it's online Scrabble." And I was like, "Oh, mate, that's sick. You play online Scrabble in prison. That's cool. Like, I play Scrabble all the time with my family." He looks at me and he's like, "Bruv, I'm getting bare pussy on Words for Friends, bruv." I was like, "What? You're getting pussy on Words for Friends?" He was like, "Bruv, I can't handle it, man. It's like, you know, boys, girls, whatever, bruv." And I was like, "Whoa, that's crazy." And he was like, "Oh, I can't keep up, bruv." And he's like showing me his phone and there's all these notifications of like, I mean, people being like, "I want to come and suck your dick." I was like, and he was just like shaking his head, being like, "Oh, bruv, bare pussy, bro." He obviously couldn't handle the amount that he was getting. Like, you know what I mean? He seemed tired. Like, he seemed exhausted. That kind of blew my mind, the pussy on Words for Friends bit. Anyway, the train showed up and we, you know, I shook hands and we left. And I don't think Tom said a word to him. And I think his name was like Archimedes or something, or like Achilles.
Did he just say his name was Archimedes?
Yeah, Archimedes, he's getting bare pussy on Words for Friends.
That's
yeah.
Literally one of my favourite stories. As a Scrabble Go frequent yeah. user. As
you
one
probably
of my...
played with him. That's crazy.
I tell you, I have not. That's one of my favourite stories of all time. And yeah, it's so unbelievable. Good.
And he picked up some wisdom there, like words... Was it?
Words for friends.
That's if Hinge isn't working for you...
Try Words for Friends.
Yeah.
We had to significantly... edit that voice note down because Bruno was making hummus while recording the voice note. And he was like, "My garbanzo beans are boiling over." And I was like, "What's going on?"
I mean, Bruno is himself, has been a side character
The Brunado.
He has his own name. He has his own plot line.
Yeah. Yeah.
But we won't go into that now.
Yeah. He's an amazing guy.
Nice. So there were our clips. And yeah, we had so much fun with that live studio audience that day, playing them to everybody.
And with our pints as
and
well.
With our pints.
Yeah.
So maybe, should we summarize? How does everyone feel about side characters? What's the lasting note that you'd like to take this with?
What I was saying about, you know, we're all side characters, we're all main characters, we're all, you know, I've been a villain, I've been a love interest, I've been a source of chaos, I know, plenty of times. And I think that I'm going to repeat what I said in the live show, which is that we're all flat or round, just depending on the angle.
Bars.
Yeah. That's one of my favourite things you've ever said.
Thank you.
Yeah, so good.
I will say it one more time. Don't be sick of me. It's a great T-shirt. Great T-shirt idea, everybody. Soph?
You know what? Again, I'm going to throw it back to the live episode. Because everyone laughed when I referenced Nietzsche, because people think I'm a thicky, thicky dum-dum, but actually, I did the degree same as these guys as well. He said something, whatever, I'll paraphrase it. How can man truly know himself? Man is a dark and veiled thing. And you can't know yourself until your pals tell you that you're being annoying or stupid, or other people do, or anyone that you might consider a side character in your own life. Those are the people who have the power to tell you who you are.
Yeah, they teach you.
Yeah, so side characters, very essential, not just for the post-night out chat.
Totally. I think that, yeah, side characters are important for basically what they teach us about ourselves, which is all to say that a side character is probably an extension of the main character. Whoa, crazy.
Whoa.
Crazy thought to end with. Maybe everything is connected to that one central idea and everything else just bleeds out from there. So yeah, if you are interested in a particular side character, maybe that says something about you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And in the words of that influencer, you know, if you're getting in too much into main character syndrome, I think you guys are thinking too much about yourselves.
Oh, yes. The Jemima Kirk.
Kirk. Yeah. It was like advice for unconfident
so
young
real.
Women.
Honestly, yeah. So real.
Bars.
Yeah. Bars. Yeah.
Jemima Kirk. Okay, well, that's all to say. Just a massive thank you for sticking with us season.
Well, I didn't think anyone would listen.
We've been so overwhelmed by the response. And also, I think, just by the joy that it's brought us doing this. And we're so thrilled that people are getting something from that. Because, I mean, I speak for myself, but hopefully for you guys too. It's just been such a lovely... it's been such a lovely part of my week to do this and sit here and think through things and chat with you. And I'm very much excited to do a season two.
Yeah, very much so. And also something that I didn't expect that was incredibly wholesome was through putting stuff out on TikTok. I know we've been taking the piss and complaining about it, but season one has encouraged a fair few young women at A-levels to decide to study English at university.
Yeah. They've been the nicest messages to me.
Yeah. So shout out to Elizabeth, I won't say your username, but we're pretty touched that you messaged us and told us that you wanted to study English because of this podcast.
So huge thank you one last time to Transmission, to everybody at the Roundhouse, to this beautiful space that we get to record in, and
to Mia and Tom.
Mia and Tom, Andrew, Sifa, Marnie, Lyle.
Everybody that's helped us.
Yeah.
Everyone. There's so many people to thank. And we're also very aware of the fact that financially we wouldn't be able to afford to make this podcast. So thank you to the Roundhouse for literally everything that you've done with funding it. We have all been unemployed at some point during the recording of season
really
one. And to have an incredible youth charity like the Roundhouse to pour money into funding youth art is incredible.
Yeah. Yeah. So there'll be a little break, ladies and gentlemen, but we will be back.
We will.
It's been such a joy to make this first season with all the support that we've had. And I guess we'll see you next season.
Thank you.
Thank you.